Tune into this brand new episode in which we will explore and demystify the world of contracts in the events and hospitality world, how you can negotiate a strong contract for your event that protects you and your organization, have some guidelines and add value. Also, what are some of the must ask questions, a cheat sheet, if you may, and how has force majeure changed our contracts for the better or the worse?
Welcome to Events Demystified Podcast, where we explore and demystify the world of in-person, virtual, hybrid event AV production and technology by sharing insightful tips, tricks, and tactics to make your events a success. This podcast is brought to you by Tree Fan Events, a woman-owned boutique event production agency. And your host is Anka Trifan, a technical event planner and producer with almost two decades of hands-on technical experience in event production.
Well, friends, welcome to a brand new episode of Events Demystified, your one-stop shop for tangible, technical, practical planning advice for anyone in the events industry. Today's episode is sponsored by Trifan Events, and I'm your host, Anka Trifan. On the show with me today, I have a beautiful inside and out, equal parts sweet and sass, and I get to say this because we're close friends, and she's my type of girlfriend, one that starts with a coffee and ends with the wine. And she's not afraid to take chances. That is my gal, Brittany Cobb, a global meeting planner with Innovate Meetings and Events and a well-rounded leader in the hospitality industry. She has over 15 years of experience ranging from hotel, casino, food and beverage, and special events. She's highly skilled in client management and customer relations, including contract writing, budget creation, and event production. Brittany is an exceptional problem solver and thrives in a fast-paced multitasking environment. Serving as an on-site coordinator for several events, she takes pride in seeing them emerge from start to finish and exceeding customer expectations. Brittany is also known as a taco connoisseur and gets just as excited about Tuesdays as Fridays. Her pets are plants and she loves traveling the world. Learn more about Brittany in the episode notes, and in the meantime, let's bring her in.
Hey, how are you?
What a pleasure to have you here. Can't believe that it took us so long to just get this episode.
I know. I've been anticipating this for quite some time now, so I'm super excited to be here.
I'm so glad that I have you, and I can't wait to dive right into the things of events and contracts. And I know that you have done so many things, and you wore many hats over the years, yeah. Because I like to ask this question to about all my featured guests, really. Just to get us on the right path, I wanted to also ask you, because I'm super interested in tapping into that energy behind a person's passion. So right. What is something that you're most passionate about? What lights your soul on fire when you start talking about it personally and professionally?
Well, like you said, I have and still do to some extent wear many hats. So I'm one of those people that has a lot of different passions and things that fuel my fire. But if I had to say personally, and for those that know me well, and you've kind of already alluded to it, I would say tacos and traveling. Those are two of my top passions. And I love that they kind of go hand in hand with one another. When I travel, one of the first questions I always ask and seek out is what is the best taco shop in that area?
Well, I can't wait to hear. You feel like you found the best taco place in each one of the places you've traveled to, or some of them are like, not so sure about that.
There's been a couple that were not so sure, but typically the people there, you know, I asked the locals what's their favorite place to go to, and I found some pretty amazing ones that did not disappoint.
So what do you do with those findings? Do you create like a list, must go back type of list?
Well, yeah, actually I do create an ongoing list that I can share out with friends, family, whomever's traveling to the area, because I do get that question a lot. What are the things to do or places to eat? So I like to be able to have that ready to share out. And of course I utilize my social media to kind of keep track and share that those little fun facts out with my audience as well.
I love it. Well, yeah. I've definitely tried some of Brittany's Taco Tuesday offerings, and they have been some really good recipes that I'm thinking, I should try some, just to sure I'm the right person for cooking and preparing any of this.
Right.
I can eat it. As we were disclosing in the introduction, today's topic will revolve around contracts. And I'm super, super excited about this topic because venue contracts and negotiation tactics is not really something that you get to talk about in general, because while we do deal with contracts, and everyone that has worked in events one day has come across some type of a contract or another, the topic of contracts is quite vague for many people, even event professionals that at the basic level understand what a contract is, what purpose it serves, and some ways to, you know, negotiate certain terms, policies, and clauses, yet it's still quite an overwhelming and confusing process, and not being aware of all its, you know, intricacies could really affect your planning experience and your event's bottom line. I have this motto, which it's called no surprises on event day when it comes to events, but you might be in for quite a few surprises if you don't ask the right questions during your venue contract process. So to kick us off into this topic, what would you say are some of the questions that event professionals should ask before signing a contract with a venue? What is your sheet of must ask questions?
Well, you know, I think you kind of summarized contracts well and saying that they can be very overwhelming. Speaking about one of my professional passions, I never in a million years thought that I would say this, but it has become contracts and negotiation. At the end of the day, a contract, any contract, should be fair for both parties signing it. And unfortunately, in the industry that we work in, you know, you don't often see a standard hotel contract that is extremely fair for both sides. And so recognizing that gap there has really fired my passion to be able to provide a service to my clients. I always say that before the contract is signed, you're negotiating, but after it's signed, then you're begging. And no one likes to beg for anything. It's not a good position to be in. And so I enjoy and absolutely love being able to help my clients be best protected right out of the gate versus putting in a position where they're begging later. And so there is a long list of things that I guess
pick some of the top most important.
So there's several really important ones, and I think factors and clauses that people may not be aware of or think about and absolutely should be top of mind before signing a contract. Cancellation clause. So are the terms, including dates and specific cancellation damages, specifically spelled out in your contract? And is the hotel allowing for slippage based on the cancellation date, and that is truly fair for the client to pay? Then we go into a hotel cancellation clause. So the hotel is protected if you cancel on them, but are you protected if the hotel cancels on you? And that question is something that people are always shocked to even hear. Well, what do you mean? The hotel can cancel on me? Mm-hmm. They can continue to do that. Quick example, we had a 1,000 person program taking place at a Las Vegas property recently, and a bigger, more profitable group came along. And the hotel had the opportunity to earn more revenue with that group. And so here's the fact. I mean, at the end of the day, hotels are in the business to make money, and rightfully so, they should be. And in this case, they called and wanted to cancel on our group to take advantage of the more profitable one. So thankfully, our client was protected by our custom contract. The hotel had to find a comparable hotel for them to move to. they had to pay for additional labor fees, variance in room rates, any travel, variances for attendees. So that's just one big way that we have been able to help our clients in these unique situations that we tend to come across at times.
I think the cause of the cancellation has been something that a lot of event professionals have dealt with over COVID and during the pandemic. And I know that goes a little bit into the force majeure, which we're going to touch on a little later. I know a lot of event planners that they were stuck with their contract with the venue that they booked at because the cancellation policy was not in their favor, nor did they actually consider to check it in fine print details because it wasn't much of a problem prior to, you know, March 20. I mean, sure, cancellations happen, but for the most part, if you've been with the same venue doing the same event year after year, especially when it comes to some nonprofits and some conferences, you're like, I'm not expecting this to change much, you know, from year to year. Many of those contracts are like multi-year contracts. So you're like, oh, we're going to be here for about, 4 or 5 years. So there's nothing to worry about.
Right. Well, and that kind of leads me into a COVID-19 specific clause. So force majeure is no longer going to protect you from this now known virus. It is to be expected. And so a force majeure clause is not going to protect you from that. Mm. And I was just in a conversation this morning regarding this specific issue. It's getting trickier as we navigate through this time that we're in with hotels. They are getting a lot more strict on the flexibility they have when it does surround something like COVID. Mm. But we are still experiencing ever-changing policies and mandates, county to county, state to state, country to country. So should a restriction or mandate come up that significantly impacts your program or your attendees coming to that program, you need to be protected. And how can you be protected from that in your contract? So let's just say that you book a program at a property for 1,000 people and the hotel can accommodate that. And then 2 months out, something's put in place and now they can only accommodate half of your group, 500 attendees. The company's gonna have to pick and choose and then call up and 500 people and say, I'm sorry, you didn't make the cut. Like, you can't come to this program. No, they can't do that. And so even though the hotel can accommodate a portion of your group still, they can't do the whole thing. And so it may then become unreasonable for you to move forward with that program. So having clauses in there that can specifically address that issue are very important in today's time. Another great one is a relocation clause. Again, this is always a shock to people when I talk about this with them, but every state has innkeeper laws. And those laws state that a hotel cannot just kick guests out of their hotel room with no significant reason, obviously. So another great example, we have been experiencing nationwide crazy flight cancellations, right? So let's just say the hotel has guests and they're impacted by this and they're going to stay in their hotel room another night or two because they can't get out. Well, the hotel can't just say, sorry, we have other guests coming in, so we need to kick you out. They can't do that. So if your attendees show up and the hotel is oversold and they don't have the rooms available, then what is the hotel responsible for to best cater to your attendees? That needs to be specifically outlined in your contract.
And that's where the relocation would potentially come into play. Is it relocation to another room or to a completely different property?
Exactly. And it could be both. So if it's another property and you've got programs happening still at this hotel, what is the distance between there? Yeah. Are they cover that travel expense? Is it the same caliber of hotel? There's just a lot of different factors that go into that.
Absolutely. As a service provider, one of the most obviously important parts of a venue contract that I pay attention to on behalf of my clients is the policy regarding preferred vendors. Mm-hmm. And many of my clients using my services don't realize that they might have locked themselves in place in the contract that they've signed without realizing that although they would like to use an outside provider for one reason or another, or maybe they have more expertise in one area or another of the event that they're working to produce and execute for them, the contract stipulates that they must use the venue's preferred or in-house vendors exclusively, a policy that has the potential to impact the event in a very large way. For many venue vendors, exclusivity is common and is most commonly applied to food and beverage, but right. also audiovisual services. And it sometimes includes even decor and other services as well. And it can be a deal breaker, and you need to know what to expect and how will it impact your budget. So what are some right. maybe different angles to look at the preferred vendor policy in ways that serve the client and the event best?
Right. Great question. I think sometimes preferred vendor policies can be a benefit to the client because it saves them maybe some of the time in sourcing out vendors, doing all of those comparison. And hopefully these vendors are well known, they're trusted, they're reputable. And so that could be a benefit. However, like you said, sometimes you do have your own preferred vendors that you would like to use. Maybe they're more cost effective for you. Maybe they have a better service level guarantee that you're already accustomed to working with. And simply put, maybe they provide specific things, whether it be certain types of food yeah. that the in-house or preferred vendors might not be able to offer or offer well. And so I think it's important to know that you can negotiate to use vendors of your choice and at no cost to you with the hotel, but you need to have that in writing in your contract. Another great thing that I've been seeing is negotiating a flat discount with companies to use for all of your meetings. So for example, we have a client that has a flat discount with Encore, and they get 25% off with any size meeting for, say, you know, the entire year or the length of that contract with them. So that way too, it prevents us and the client from having to negotiate every time with a new hotel for their meetings throughout the year. And also because it covers all of their meetings, they're saving a lot, even on their smaller ones, where typically maybe they would only be able to get, say, a 10% discount because of the size of the meeting. Now they're getting an extra 15% because of that flat discount that they've got, you know, established with those particular companies. So those are just yeah. a couple of things that I think are important to consider and look at.
Yeah, in that example, I can see how the 25% discount, basically, it just annuls the 25% service charge that would have come on top of the audiovisual bill anyway. So basically what they're saying without saying it is, we're waiving the service charge so you go with our service provider, which is our bird service provider. Because I've seen this happen a lot. Another version, you know, of the per vendor policy is where you are permitted to bring in a vendor that's not on the venue's preferred vendor list, but you also need to pay a fee to do so. For example, at one of the venues that I'm planning my upcoming hybrid event, the fee is like $650 per day. And for this event, it's definitely worthwhile to bring an outside vendor that has lots of experience in the hybrid technology and production execution of the event. But as a rule of thumb, it is important to do a quick math exercise to determine if it makes more sense to work with the venue's preferred vendor or pay the fee. It's part of the exercise that I encourage many of my clients to do as well, to make sure that you also include the service charge in your calculations that we were just talking about, which is yeah. typically anywhere between 22 to 30%. So it might seem like you're saving at first sight by not paying the outside vendor fee, but by the time you add this extra something 20% service charge on top of the total cost, the potential of not getting the expertise that your event requires is not as attractive of a proposition anymore if you're going to pay the same or sometimes even more.
Right.
So what are some things that should be included in a venue contract, and any helpful guidelines or examples that could give the client something that protect them and serve the organization that they sign them in the long term?
Sure. There's a couple of things that are pretty simple, but often overlooked when it comes to, you know, the venue itself. One of those being looking at your specific meeting space that is assigned to your group and making sure the actual name of that space is listed in the contract. And also making sure the hotel cannot move or make changes to that assigned space without written approval by the organization. I see all the time time in contracts where under the function space, it will state that this space may be moved at the hotel's discretion and you will simply be notified. Let's just say that you've got this, you know, beautiful awards dinner planned and it's in a gorgeous room with floor-to-ceiling windows and a beautiful view and maybe even access to the outside patio so you can see the sunset. And another group comes in and can only fit in this room, but you could be moved to a different room. Well, again, the hotel is going to just move you so they can now get more business, right? And now you're stuck in some just standard four-wall ballroom, no view, no nothing. Probably not going to be too happy about that. So you want to make sure that that is spelt out. Another but very important thing to consider now more than ever is your basic meeting provisions. So what is included in that space? Including tables, chairs, trash cans, candy dishes, notepads, pens, the room setup. Are these specifically listed in your contract and at no charge to you? Don't just assume the hotel is going to provide you all of these things and not charge you. If you do not address this in your contract, you show up to set up for your program and they're like, oh yeah, we have all these things. And by the way, it's going to cost you X amount of dollars. And you're like, what?
Yeah, because when you did the walkthrough, you saw it beautifully laid on the tables and you were just assuming that that's the setup, what you're going to get when you're booking the space, part of the fee of actually booking the space.
Absolutely. You know, and then you realize we don't have the budget to cover this. I mean, so having this.
Or the last minute thing, like who am I going to send where to buy pens and pencils and notepads?
Exactly. And yeah, and maybe they don't even have some of the items that you need there. So having that spelled out, again, a very simple thing that's overlooked that could end up saving or costing you thousands of dollars at the end of the day. So we never pay more than cancellation damages more than 30 or 60 days out. Typically, the hotel has not even purchased your food yet. And again, the client should only pay fair cancellation damages for food and beverage based on that cancellation date. Let's say that you cancel a year out. The hotel has not even begun to think about purchasing your food, and they have plenty of time to resell and make up for that potential lost revenue.
So is there like a sweet time when there is a potential that a cancellation would not affect the hotel or the venue as much and you'd have more leeway to negotiate those terms? Sure.
Well, I mean, obviously the more time out, the better. Again, when it comes to food and beverage, sweet spot would be 30 to 60 days. A lot of times hotels are not ordering in that specific food unless it's something, a unique product, right, that needs to be pre-ordered. But a lot of times you're looking at 2 weeks out or sometimes even 7 days before they're ordering in the products for your event. But then again, within that short time frame too, there's less opportunity for them to resell that space and bring in what that potential revenue would have looked like.
Absolutely. Well, hold that thought to give a quick shout out to our sponsor before we actually go into some value add-ons and cost savings opportunities. Before we move any further, I wanted to give a quick shout out to our main sponsor, Trifun Events, which is a boutique event planning and production agency that will come alongside you, offering personalized event planning and technical support, strategic event design, production and technology management, and flawless execution for live, virtual, and hybrid events. The team at Trifun Events is passionate about planning and producing event experiences that get people involved with true moments of interaction, engagement, and co-creation, while offering white glove treatment throughout the entire planning process, enabling you to reach your event goals with the use of creativity, production tools, and event technology. Find out how Trifun Events can plan and produce your event become memorable. Go to trifunevents.com. You know, parking, power, Wi-Fi, security, co-check, and other ancillary fees add up and affect your budget significantly. What are some then value add-ons, cost savings opportunities that could be applied to take advantage of as it relates to some of those fees?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that can be done to add value to your attendees and also your group master account to save on on the end as well. One thing, negotiating group discounts for these specific outlets among the hotels. So whether that be a complimentary beverage or appetizer voucher at select restaurants for your attendees, maybe it's a spa discount, 10% off of a scheduled service. And this is also a great way to then track the spend, your group's ancillary spend, and you can use that for future negotiations with hotels as well. Maybe it's they get a free gift with booking a spa treatment or spending a certain amount in the gift shop. Golf discounts. A lot of times hotels are always willing to extend a discount on golf fees for their attendees. Another great thing is to negotiate and see if the hotel will give your group a percentage discount that can be applied to the master account based on the group's total ancillary spend. So a couple of great ways there, again, to add value and make your attendees feel great and special, but also contribute to your group as a whole for some cost savings, either now or for future events.
I love that. Now we're going to go a little bit into, touch on that a little bit because we mentioned it before, the idea of force majeure and how COVID no longer falls within that category because we've had it for like, what, 2 or something years now. So I would ask you maybe for anyone that's not familiar with the term, would you just give them a definition of what does a force majeure clause apply to now and how has COVID changed this clause in the venue contract world?
Yes. So the now infamous force majeure clause has made it into the spotlight. So yes, for those of you out there who may be too familiar with exactly what a force majeure clause is, simply put, it protects all parties signing the agreement from any unexpected or unforeseen events outside of the party's control that prevents them from being able to move forward and fulfill the provisions outlined in a contract. COVID has definitely opened everyone's eyes to this clause, specifically in our industry, and people are paying closer attention to exactly what it says. Majority of clauses that I'm finding previously did not spell out or list the World Health Organization, the CDC, pandemics, diseases, viruses. None of that typically was covered or even considered until now. With the exception of Innovate's custom contract, I will say, our contract language was prepared for COVID long before COVID took place. And it already covered World Health Organization, CDC, diseases, pandemics. And because of that, we were able to get every client in 2020 off the hook financially because our contract language protected them in every scenario. And like you mentioned earlier, Anka, I know of several companies that had to pay hefty cancellation damages in 2020 when they shouldn't have had to, because it was an unforeseen and out of control situation, right? Again, this clause and their contract didn't protect them from that, which is
because if you didn't stipulate, you know, that type of pandemic, widespread virus disease, you are like, okay, I can put this under a hurricane or, you know, is it an act of God, actually, the question? Is a pandemic an act of God? Oh, we're getting into a very sensitive topic.
I think you could go down a
I'm going to refrain from saying anything. I got to consult with my lawyers first.
Yes.
To your previous thought, how then for anyone that was in that situation could have potentially prevented themselves from falling outside of the clause if they weren't protected properly? Was there any chance for them?
You know, I think it came down to just the communication with the hotels and the client and the flexibility they were willing to have given the circumstances. I know of a ton of hotels who were definitely forgiving of the situation and work to the best that they could to accommodate the situation and help out people. Mm-hmm. Because what were we to do, you know? And it was a difficult challenge on their side as well. So we certainly did see a lot of that, just coming together, working together so that it could, you know, everyone could move forward most effectively. But again, at the end of the day, there were a lot of people that had to pay hefty damages just because they still needed to be profitable as well.
Or at least pay just their minimum, whatever expenses. Because at that point, everyone was just trying to survive and not have to close down their venue, their shop, right? I think a lot of this that has been shared today is fantastic information for moving forward. It would have been so much helpful knowing all of this prior to 2020, right? For anyone that was like, well, now I'm really paying attention to those contracts, and I definitely would need the support of someone that is way more knowledgeable than me and has the backup of an entire team of professionals and lawyers and people that actually talk law, not just in general law, but hospitality specific clauses. So I guess in closing, Brini, what is one piece of advice that you have for event professionals seeking to better their contract negotiation game with especially hybrid events as we're moving forward, or just events in general?
Great question. Well, my first piece of advice would be to contact me.
You want a solid contract? Contact Brini.
Right. No, in all honesty, you know, I am more than happy to be a resource to anyone out there. If you're a planner or stockholder or in any company and you are dealing with contracts or trying to decide how to move forward, when to move forward with, again, hybrid, in-person, any type of event for your company, I would love to be a resource and just be helpful and answer questions you might have or take a peek at a contract you're working on to see how you could be at risk or have added value or cost savings applied. And you mentioned earlier about just the importance of having someone that maybe is a little more versed on that subject of hospitality law and contracting. And I always tell people, yes, it's necessary to have the right clauses and those that are going to protect you in the contract. But what's even more important is knowing how to defend them if the hotel does push back on it. So you can't just write something out and be like, oh, here you go. If you don't know how to defend it, it's pointless. And so that's so valuable and something that we are able to provide as well. And like you said, I mean, moving forward this day and age in any type of event, the contracting is equally important across the board. There's still risk involved and opportunity for added value. So at the end of the day, you know, communication is important. And if you don't know, or you haven't done it, or you're not the expert, that is okay. Just ask someone.
Absolutely. So one piece of advice, ask for help if you do not know what you're doing. And I already have in my mind, note to self, have Brini look over your contract to make sure that they're solid.
Yes, happy to do that.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for all the insightful tips, advice, and all the examples that you have provided today and you share with us and our audience. Where can our audience that would like to learn more about this topic connect with you and just reach out to you if they have questions?
Yeah, absolutely. You can email me, Brittany at Innovate. Let me spell my name first. Brittney at Innovate, INNOV8 meetings with an S.com. Or you can find me on Instagram or LinkedIn at Brittany Shea Cobb. And message me through any of those three outlets and I'll definitely get back to you and look forward to having a conversation with you.
And I'll have those links in the episode notes to make it easy for all of you out there trying to jot down all the letters. I'm always the kind of person that I'm like, oh, man, I missed like one letter and now the spelling is completely wrong.
Right.
Such a pleasure to have you today with me, Brini. Thank you. Friends, this is it for today's episode. I hope you got as much out of it as I did. Stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you again and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Events Demystified podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to review it, rate it, and share it with other event professionals that could benefit from it. Connect with us on social at Events Demystified Podcast. We would love to hear from you and what you're up to. If you'd like to learn more about Tree Fan Event Services and find out if we're a good fit in supporting your event, can we help your event be successful with a 20-minute free consultation? Link in the episode's notes. Thanks for tuning in.